Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
I have a little lozenge in my mouth, so if that's...
Ooh.
Hopefully that's not distracting. We're doing a lot of talking today.
So this is part two of the movie for you guys, but for Mike and I, we are recording this whole thing at once on a 92-degree day
yeah.
in New York City. Socially
Very
distant
pleasant.
Recording. So I'm looking at Mike right now. He looks really nice. He has a tank top, and he has a mustache, you guys.
I'm mustachioed right now. No one's seeing it. I'm like, might as well have a mustache.
This
is the tank top. I told Elise that I bought a thing of tank tops through Amazon, and I specifically ordered large so they wouldn't be, like, you know, too tight. And they're so tight that I think I can only wear them in my apartment.
Well, it looks fine from here.
Looks okay from the boob up.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tight around my tummy.
Oh, it's okay, Mike.
It encourages me to suck in and up.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a corset?
It's basically what it is.
I love that. Welcome to my life.
So this part, we're actually going to start out with a bonus scene that isn't on the DVDs.
Bragging again.
I was confused at first because it's Big and Carrie answer the door and Brady and Miranda are there, and Brady is coming over for a sleepover, and then I realize it's because she's already moved out. That this scene follows the last one. She's moved out. Brady and Miranda are coming over to stay with Big and Carrie. And Miranda tells Carrie what happened, and Carrie has her I can't believe it moment. And Miranda brings up all that she's done for Steve. And basically says if they didn't have Brady, she would never go back there. It's a very short scene, and is not necessary because the scene we're about to get to is where we have all the girls out eating. And Charlotte feels like the rest of us.
Steve, I can't believe it.
Right.
And Miranda is almost being strangely Miranda about it. That she's kind of like, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to look for a place. I will say wherever they're dining is very strange because they're at a table with a full spread in front of them, but there are people behind them just like chilling in chairs. It's a very odd location. I'm not sure where they are. Miranda's looking for something downtown to be near Brooklyn to keep Brady's life as normal as possible. And, you know, Carrie has her moment of like, I don't know if we're allowed to ask this, but how is Steve doing?
Says he's devastated, begs me to forgive him.
And Miranda just makes it very clear that she can't forgive him. There's no possibility of her forgiving him.
Mm.
And, you know, and Samantha points out that it's just one time. It wasn't an affair. And Miranda says she just can't get over the cheating part. That's the part that gets her the most, just the violation of trust. Then we have a quick moment of Charlotte and Harry in bed.
Yes, we have Charlotte and Harry in bed. And she's just like, I love you so much. And it's like, you're bragging.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, MPK does sort of point out that he was going to kind of put the women through it to varying degrees,
mm-hmm.
and that he wanted one of them to not be having relationship problems.
And I feel like I think Charlotte's a good one for that. I think
Charlotte's been
through
it.
Yeah.
So at least give Charlotte a marriage that is secure in the relationship, at least. So that is nice. And then we have another quick bonus scene that's not on the DVDs where... Sam is back in LA and sort of saying that she felt like it was kind of quick for Miranda to move out. And once again, it wasn't an affair. It was one time only. And Smith has an interesting response where he sort of mirrors what Miranda had said of like, it probably was just because it was, you know, there was probably the violation of trust. And that if Samantha was going to have sex with someone else, he would at least want to know about it first. Mm. And Samantha kind of quickly goes into like, all right, well, just so you know, I'm about to have sex with someone. But she goes over and, you know, lies on the table and the rest is, you know, what happens.
I mean, that's pretty on point for them, though.
Yeah, and it makes sense. I get why it was cut, because once again, it's not really needed for the storyline. But it does sort of work for their relationship. So we're back to Carrie and Big. And for her, it's crunch time.
Yep,
it's time to get to work on this wedding. Yeah.
The guest list has gone up quite a bit.
Yeah, so, you know, he got an email, and the contractor is pushing back the move-in date, but, you know, Carrie says wedding comes for contractor, because you have 200 people coming to this wedding now.
And he calls it a circus.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for the record, I have a friend when she got married who had 275 guests at her wedding, and 350 at the reception, so it is possible to have a larger wedding than this. But, you know, I get that coming from 75 people... in a small ceremony to 200 at the library does feel like a lot. And quick behind the scenes story, the dress that she's wearing in this is a very specific dress. It's very beautiful, but the scene went long and they had to finish it much later on a second filming day. But the dress had already been shipped to Mexico to be in a fashion show. So they had to put a PA on a plane to Mexico to like go to some fashion show happening in the jungle, to wait for the model to come off stage, to take the dress off of the model, to get back on a plane, to fly back so they could film this scene. So there you go. A little behind the scene dress story there. And speaking of dresses, Carrie blames the dress. She's like, it's the dress.
It's the dress. People have to see the dress.
Yeah, it upped the ante. And then she asks about his vows. Apparently they're writing their own vows. And this escalates quickly. And in fact, I'm somewhat uncomfortable with Big's physical maneuvering of her off of him.
Yeah, and I think right here, I'm like, Carrie, like, don't you see the signals? But once again, Carrie, when it comes to Big, John James Preston, yeah, she never sees the singles.
Never sees the singles. And he brings up, this is where in the actual film he brings up that this is his third marriage. Mm-hmm. And her sort of saying, like, I didn't know that was an issue. And this is the first of what is going to be a few occasions where you can kind of see Carrie not wanting to hear the answer.
Mm.
That he says all he wants is her, and he would have been fine with City Hall. And when we cut to the bathroom later, and she's just kind of like, I think it's a little too late for City Hall now. And him trying to avoid that face, and she calls him a great man friend.
Mike, you're a great man friend.
Thanks. I appreciate that. You're a great lady friend.
Thanks.
So it's the night. So I wrote, so it's the night before the big day. So I'm guessing they have fittings later.
Right. I was like, in true Sex and the City fashion, there has been absolutely no wedding prep. And here we are at a rehearsal dinner that looks like a full wedding party at Budokan.
Yeah, we're at Budokan. It's sort of meatpacking adjacent. Mm-hmm. Just right up the street. With that huge table on the lower level. And all I can think is, please tell me they're not splitting the check.
No, I'm sure Big is picking it up.
Yeah, here's hoping. And we do see Bitsy. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Bitsy Von Muffling is there. Bobby is not there.
Uh-oh.
But Bitsy's at the table. Yeah,
Bobby,
who knows? Who knows what happened there?
With one of his activity partners.
he's with his trainer, yeah, somewhere. We skip right to dessert, and it's time for the toast. I see Samantha does try to keep it classy.
But Carl the dickwad doesn't.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, we never kiss and tell. And then Carl, Damien Young, I know him most from The Comeback. He plays Valerie Cheris's husband on The Comeback. Yeah, he keeps interjecting. Sam shuts him down pretty good.
You know what they say, three times the charm.
Hey, dickwad, I'm speaking.
That is a pretty good line, and it gets applause from the whole wedding party.
I mean, it's the first time that we really see one of Big's, I guess, friends.
Well, since the guy who, you know, was divorcing the bitch who didn't take all this stuff, the first bitch didn't get in the first divorce.
Right, he has some good friends.
Many, many years ago. His friends are overall pretty cool.
He's not a guy that you'd be like, hey, do you know anyone?
I have a friend I like to set up, and I hate her. Yeah, and, you know, Samantha's like, we had our doubts, and she makes her little 100 years joke. And she utters the get carried away tagline that was actually on the first movie poster for this film back in 2008. So we go outside and there's talk of illegal Cuban cigars.
Sure.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
Yeah.
I will say that I watched this with the captions on. So there are moments that I got. Okay. Apparently it was 30 degrees when they filmed this. Big sort of brings up the toast. But before we get too much into the conversation, we cut to a very dejected looking Steve.
Yeah, out of the cab. I thought he could have at least dressed up a little bit, but...
Right? Kind of like fit in with the party.
Mm-hmm.
He asks Sam to go in and get Miranda, and she does. And I say, Samantha, Miranda, and I try all not to be distracted by the giant penis painting.
Yeah, I wrote penis art on the wall.
And that was purposeful. Like, MPK wanted that. He wanted, like, it to be their, like, awkward sexuality in the scene.
And also, so I'm confused. They obviously didn't do a full buyout of the restaurant, because there's random girls that I would hope are not friends with Carrie Bradshaw that are coming in and out.
Yeah, they must have just gotten that. I don't know how Budokan works. I think it still exists.
It does.
But like maybe you just get that big table downstairs as
yeah, but it
as
looks
as private
like,
as it
I mean,
gets.
I mean, if I was out to dinner, I would be like, okay, cool. Yeah, there's a party here, but they don't need to get on a microphone.
Yeah, and I've experienced that actually, where like the big party is like tries to shush the rest of the restaurant, and I'm like, you don't actually own this restaurant tonight.
Yeah, unless you buy me an appetizer.
Right.
You can do that, but just give me a spinach dip.
What Elise Castle won't do for a spinach dip.
And if you're going to give me the whole appetizer sampler.
She's all yours.
Yeah, possibilities are endless.
So did you see this when they go back outside and there's a random poodle conversation happening?
Like the poodles are talking to each other?
That would be even better. But no, when they go back outside, the closed captions say, and I don't know, I think that Harry is saying this. The closed captions say, they're not poodles. You know what I mean. Maybe. I don't know what it's about. I don't know what's happening.
That's
but I'll put
my
the
new
picture
favorite
up.
Quote.
Yeah, that's what they're saying as they come back outside. And Miranda indicates that she would like a moment alone. And Samantha kind of leaves hesitantly, like sort of that moment of like, are you sure you're okay?
Yeah.
Which I do like. I do,
but they do that a lot in this, where the women do that look where they're like, kind of like looking
sure?
at the guy. Yeah.
Steve says that he didn't have any choice and had to talk to her. And she gets angry pretty fast.
It was just that one time.
You broke us! You broke us! What we had is broken!
And some dumb girls walk by into the restaurant. And I guess this is also very specific that Michael Patrick King wanted to sort of juxtapose, like, 20-year-old girls think that 40-year-old women, like, don't have serious problems.
Right.
That, like, as a 40-year-old, you're like, my life is actually falling apart. And she says, you know, I changed who I was for you. And I guess I wonder exactly about that, because I don't know that Miranda
minded any
of the changes until now.
Right, and I think, like, yes, she changed, but I thought maybe Steve almost brought out the best in her. Like, let her...
And I would say that is true.
Yeah, like, he let... Like, because of him, she's let go of a lot of things.
But in the moment, she's angry about it, which, you know... Yeah. And Miranda goes back in, and Big is there.
And she does something so stupid. I just wrote, Miranda,
I said, Miranda
don't
says,
say that.
Oh, yeah. I said, Miranda says, maybe not the right thing.
Yeah. You two are crazy to get married. Ugh.
Marriage ruins everything.
No, you he ruin getting, everything. Not you.
You ruin everything.
Not you, Miranda.
And yeah, we get to Big sipping. And I'm like, I do want to be like, you have to know that's not the best thing to say to this particular man the night before he's getting married.
Yeah. So now he's sipping on some gin and juice.
He's sipping on some dark liquor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carrie approaches. And the all-gal sleepover is about to commence. Mm-hmm. And there's some sort of, things tense? No, they're not. Everything's fine. And we have one last single girl kiss. And yeah, they're with a sleepover. And Charlotte, I always knew it.
I kind of always did, too.
Yeah, I think the writers also knew as well.
Okay.
And then, of course, the breakup jokes start.
Yeah.
After every breakup, I secretly thought, nope, they belong together.
You thought that after the second breakup?
Yep. After the 15th? Uh-huh. That's hilarious. We broke up a lot.
Yeah, but after the breakups comes the hot makeup sex.
And the phone rings and Lily picks it up. And this is pretty funny.
Yeah. Sex.
Just her little sex. This little girl's name is Allie Parker, and she is incredibly adorable. And she really does seem like one of the girls. Like, she's just sort of, like, hanging out. Yeah, it's Big and something is up. For the record, there is a Cinderella doll in the corner as Carrie exits the room.
I'm sitting here trying to write these vows. And is this something we really want to do?
Big calls, and Carrie handles this extremely well.
She does. Because is this something you really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think he means the vows, but I think he also means...
No, he means the wedding, I think. And I love at the end where she's like...
Just write this. I will love you.
Simple, to the point, and I swear I won't even try to take credit for it.
And yeah, she sort of is like, it's just me and you, and we've both done everything we can possibly do to screw it up, and go to bed. And, you know, there was a conversation that I saw with Sarah Jessica Parker where she says that Carrie knew in this moment that something was going on. Mm-hmm. But it's moments like these where you just sort of say, dear God, just get us through the next 13 hours. Right. Like, if I can just get him in front of that altar, it's all going to be fine. And I love, I mean, I think that image is sort of haunting, where it's her standing there with the dress. And it's just the beautiful moment of, like, her standing there with the dress and just sort of, once again, just you can see her just being like, we just got to get through this. We just got to get there. So we get to Miranda in blue.
With awful wedding hair.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, it's very weird.
Carrie appears in the dress. And all that I'll say at this point is that there's something blue on her head.
Yeah, she doesn't even really know what it is.
And big calls as Anthony is getting everyone in order and Lily picks up the phone and I say, in a clear act of sabotage, Lily puts the phone in a purse.
In a cupcake purse or something.
Yeah, it's Judith Lieber. We dealt with her on the actual series. Remember, like, the little purses?
Yeah, Judith Lieber. She would make that
purse. Yeah, but she did specifically make this purse so that it was big enough for the phone to fit in, because it's bigger than a Judith Lieber purse usually is.
So is this the moment that you are always talking about when you're talking about, like, no, Carrie does have a cell phone, or is that because it's a very important part of the story, or is that from the series?
If it's about her having a cell phone, it probably is this.
But here's the thing. Like, of course she's not going to answer. She's getting married, dumbass. Not you.
No. Yeah, but if you had your phone on you and the person calling was...
Right.
I was going to say, if it was that guy from Gossip Girl...
Oh, Ed Westwick.
Yeah, if you were like, Ed and I are about to get married, and then Ed Westwick called, you'd be like, oh, I guess I'll answer this.
Ed Westwick, John Stamos, Jackie Warner.
That's a nice variety. They're all pretty hot. So Anthony literally utters the phrase, who let the dogs out?
I know.
That's a bit much. And I said, we see Sam in red, and I do wonder if Charlotte will be in yellow to complete the primary colors theme.
But she's
in black. Nope. She's in black.
I love her dress. And Sanford is smoking in the bouquet. I'm like, you're going to set that bouquet on fire.
All of these bridesmaids' dresses are Zach Posen.
Oh, okay.
Just FYI.
I have a Zach Posen dress.
Do you? Me too.
But
no,
it was,
I don't.
Like,
I'm just kidding.
His collection for Lord and Taylor, so it was like a cheaper version.
Gotcha. But it was like his Kmart collection.
His Jaclyn Smith collab. Zach Posen for Jaclyn Smith for Kmart.
Perfect. Big is trying to call, and I said Anthony and Stanford clearly have called a truce.
Oh yeah, they're gonna like do stuff later.
Spoilers, Elise. God. So at the library, Anthony is concerned because neither the bride nor the groom are there.
Well,
and
wait.
We kind of get.
Are we gonna just jump over the line about when they're trying to get the dress into the car?
What does he say?
It's like pushing a cream puff through a keyhole. How many times have you heard that one, Mike Jensen?
So often.
Yeah.
So, and then we get to Big on the phone, and he needs to know that it's still just them.
Right.
And I'm like, did last night's conversation only get you through a few hours?
Yeah, do you think that you're actually entering into a thruple?
And it's, I don't know, it's tough, because I get that this is what we're doing, we're setting up the conflict, because we get the girls out of the car, and I just say a random passerby just got some Sex in the City movie scoop. I don't know if it was an actual extra or just a person, but you see someone look over and, like, look startled at Carrie in a wedding dress.
I mean, I think it doesn't matter. I think even if I was, like, in New York City and I saw that wedding dress with that bird, I'd be like, okay, like, whoa, is that thing going to attack me, or is that part of your ensemble?
And you can see pictures of how many people were in the crowd. That if you turned the camera around, it's just like crowds watching this scene. That at this point, it was being published in the paper where they were filming the next day. And so just huge crowds would show up. And the girls, if they were filming an outdoor scene, they would have moments where they'd be like, what a crazy dream sequence that was that we just filmed. Like, trying to throw people off, you know, what was really happening. And he says that he needs to see her face. He's like, I need to see your face.
Well, you're not going to.
Well, because he isn't sure her face is still there behind that veil.
And then he's talking about, like, actually seeing her because he sees her. And then when he sees it, he freaks the Ev out.
Yeah, we have kids in their fancy clothes. Mm-hmm. And the news of a lack of groom starts to spread.
And
no one has called him.
And here's the moment. And she just says, somebody, give me a phone, give me a phone. Carrie can't work an iPhone, which makes sense.
I remember when this movie came out, I did not have an iPhone.
Oh, I didn't, for sure. I didn't have one for a few years after.
Samantha hands her this phone, and it was so perfect of her, like, I don't know how to work that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I wouldn't know how to work that either.
Yeah.
And Stan has a flip phone ready to go. And Carrie calls. There's general concern.
And
he says he's been trying to call. Why haven't you been answering your phone?
Because I don't know where my phone is. So what's going on? Where are you?
I was out front. I just left.
And you see it wash over her. Like, you see the moment of Sarah Jessica Parker.
I can't do this.
Oh my God.
As she drops the phone and he's not coming.
Carrie.
I say, if you look, Magda is concerned and Brady is confused.
He's not coming. Oh my God.
What do you mean he's not coming?
Brady's like, I guess marriage doesn't work.
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. Samantha goes into go mode. She's going to stay and deal with the wedding. And the girls exit and get in the car. And you have... I suppose the moment that saves this for me a little bit is you do see Big realize what he's done.
Right. And he says, what the fuck am I doing?
Right. And he makes them turn around on a one-way street. And they see the limo with Carrie going by. And they get out of the limo, and he tries to say he's ready, but it's just too late.
I know you would do this!
And to me, honestly, it's a really heart-wrenching scene.
Oh my
God. I am humiliated!
It's so heart-wrenching, yet I, like, love this moment with Charlotte.
Carrie,
no!
Well, I mean, Carrie's just, like, beating
gosh,
the shit out of him with the flowers.
Yeah.
But I love the moment with Charlotte where she's, like, hugging her, and she's like, no! And then she has that little waddle scoot in her dress into the car.
She's like Mama Bear for a minute, you know. And even Miranda gets in that withering look. And then, they get in the car and Big goes back to the car. And I love that shot where he picks up the flower and drops it to the street. And that's it. Mm-hmm. It's over. And we cut to Carrie's reflection and she feels nothing. And I wrote, I'm pretty sure that Sky Vodka was a sponsor.
Yeah, I wrote, Sky Vodka, at least give her Kettle. Come on, she was just left at the altar. I mean, I used to drink a brand of vodka in Michigan called 5 O'Clock, which costs $5.96 a fifth, so I'm not judging anyone here. However, if I had just been left at the altar, like, top shelf.
I do like Sky. I actually really like Sky Citrus. Feel free to send that to my apartment. And Samantha just wonders what happened.
Yeah.
And we do kind of have a moment of realization on Miranda's face. And Carrie said that she knew the night before, but she didn't want to believe it.
Now I have nowhere to live.
You'll stay here.
Forever. Oh, my clothes. I can never go back there again. How am I going to get my clothes?
Oh, honey, I can hire people to do all that.
And Samantha says that she'll get her anything she needs. And the honeymoon is sort of brought up. And we find out that Carrie paid for this whole honeymoon. Carrie put a honeymoon on her credit card because she wanted to surprise her husband. Mm-hmm. And we cut to putting Lily into bed. I do like the accuracy that Charlotte is like, I'm putting sweatpants on now.
Yeah.
And the other women are all still, I mean, other than Carrie, like they're all in their, wedding attire. And when Charlotte comes back into the room, Miranda kind of motions her over and she tells her what she said and wonders, like, you think that's the total reason why this happened?
And she just pretty much says, like, you're never telling her this.
Yeah, look at her. Look at her. Like, you're not going to tell her. Yeah. Find another time. And Samantha says that she couldn't get Carrie out of the honeymoon, but she got the rest of them in.
Yep. And Carrie,
and she snaps her fingers.
Yeah. I was like, Carrie needs to eat something. I was just worried. Because I know, like, when you're getting married, you usually don't eat, during the day. And, like, now she's drinking all that Sky vodka. I got nervous.
And Miranda brings up some fairly valid points.
She's like, I'm a lawyer. I have a child. Yeah. I just left my husband.
But none of it matters. They look at Carrie and off they go. We're off on a honeymoon. Carrie has a stole. Mm-hmm. She has like a fur draped over her arms.
Are we questioning anything that Carrie has?
I guess not. And Miranda and I have similar Wi-Fi concerns.
Yeah, she just wants to know if it's there.
Yeah. I remember getting a laugh in the theater. Like, that was kind of a thing of like, is there Wi-Fi? And the greeter wonders about Mr. and Mrs. Preston.
Yeah.
And I wrote, I don't know what that drink is. And I can't even really decide if it looks good or not, but that is my glassware.
Yes, I noticed that.
And the view is amazing inside.
Traditional Mexican glassware.
Yeah, that's what I have.
No, but it is like, that glassware is very, like, what you just see at most Mexican restaurants, I notice.
Yeah, and I see it in a lot of TV shows as well. Like, it is definitely, like, a go-to glassware.
Did you purchase that glassware, or have you taken it from a previous job?
No, I purchased it. Purchased it from a TJ Maxx, I want to say.
Maxinista.
And I only... Yeah, and I only brought two of each, and then I was mad that I hadn't bought, like, eight of each.
You broke one.
How are you gonna... I did. I broke the best one. I broke the large one. It's very sad.
That was for Mike's big girl drink.
Yeah, now I have to do a medium one and just measure differently. And the view is amazing, and it will kill her. And the girls go on a search, and we just sort of see Carrie looking at herself. And I know there were some conversations behind the scenes about this, because, you know, SJ wanted to wear no makeup, and is that going to work for the shot? And
it does.
And it's, yeah, it does. It's pretty powerful. Now, in the version you saw, does Carrie go out and look at the view?
I don't
think that it is. I think it's part of the extended scene.
I mean, pretty much she's just in bed.
In the extended version, Carrie goes out on the balcony and looks at the view, and like I don't know if it's a maid, but someone walks by and puts a bouquet on the table. And I think they cut it out. Yeah, they cut it out because Michael Patrick feared that it would sort of like peak emotionally too soon. Mm. So instead, in the theatrical version, we cut right to the women finding the flower petals on the bed and just like getting rid of it, because they wanted to kind of keep it as comedic as possible in the moment. And that Pat Field had given Miranda this weird big fish purse. That Michael Patrick King was like, why does she have that purse? And in typical Patricia Field style, Patricia was like, because it's fabulous. And so in this moment where they were like, what are we going to do with these flower petals? And they were like, I guess put them in that big purse that we don't really need for anything. And Carrie comes in and gets right into bed and asks them to close the shades. Mm-hmm. And that's it for a few days. Yeah, Miranda enters the next morning. Carrie asks if she dreamed it. And then Charlotte comes in at dinner and tells her she slept all day. And then Samantha comes back in the next morning with breakfast. Yeah, and she feeds her yogurt. And I said that it could be silly. But to me, it's really, really sweet.
It is, but it's like Samantha is feeding her yogurt the way you feed a baby food. And I'm like, it looks like Samantha must have fed a baby before.
Well, and I guess that why I like it is because really, like, theoretically, Samantha is the least maternal.
Right.
You can say that Miranda is, but she has a kid at least. And so I love that it's Samantha who is like, I don't do children. Who's like, I'm going to take care of you. Like, you need to eat something. Little wink. And yeah, I think it's a sweet, honest scene to me. And we get to the girls outside having food. Charlotte's only eating pudding.
Yeah.
Well, and we'll get there. Charlotte, eat some food.
She's worried about her intestinal tract, which like, then just don't drink bottled water. But I feel like, I've never been to, like a resort like this, but I feel like these resorts are like, that's usually just a thing, right? Like,
You're fine. First of all, you can definitely eat the food.
Yeah.
Second of all, you can usually also drink the water at a resort like this. You want to check ahead of time. I've only gone to Mexico once, but the resort was like, we sell bottled water too if you're nervous, but the water here is filtered. You'll be fine. I also put that I'm pretty sure that Smart Water was a sponsor.
Yeah, Smart Water was a sponsor because Vitamin Water is also a sponsor, I'm sure.
Yeah, she says it's the only thing that was safe in the pantry because it was made in Poughkeepsie. And I say this isn't Charlotte's finest moment.
No.
And then Carrie emerges and she's at least ready for coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all enjoying the sun and we get a fun little Miranda crotch close-up.
Yeah, woof. She's got a national forest.
Yeah, they gave her a little Merc in there, I think.
A little? That's like a leftover wig from the Annie National Tour.
Yeah. Is Ronald McDonald under there?
Like, I understand. Oh, we've already had that moment. I understand. Like, I get that. And, like, I'm not shaming anyone, right? Like, if that's what you want, like, do that. However, like, that looks like it was work. That looks like she put on the bathing suit and then, like,
she
like,
toughed it out, a little bit.
like, I remember growing up when I would
Mickey the hairstylist was like,
when I would tuck in my shirt, my mom would be like, now blouse it out. Like, where you pull it out a little bit. Like, that's what she did with her pubes. She, like, tucked them in and then bloused them out a little bit.
Perfect. And, like, Samantha probably goes a little bit too far with it. But I think Samantha's also like, I can tease, we're friends.
Right.
I forgot to wax. Since when? 1998? I've had other things on my mind. I could be on death row and not have that situation.
Well, Samantha, when you're married, you have a different set of priorities.
Oh, honey, don't blame marriage. This one's married and she's not growing a national forest. How do you even cross your legs? Let me make you a spa appointment. Any thicker and you won't be able to find it.
And Miranda's not in a place to be teased. And I think it has a lot to do with what's happening. Yeah, exactly. I think it has a lot to do with like where she is in her marriage. That she just takes it personally and she stalks off. And Carrie wonders if they should go to the restaurant for dinner. And we get a pun.
Hey, let's go down to the hotel for dinner tonight.
Really?
Yeah. I gotta do something to pull me out of my Mexicoma.
Oh, honey, you made a little joke. Good for you.
And Samantha's so happy for her. I love it.
So then they go to dinner.
Yeah, the ladies are going to dinner. They all look great.
Charlotte's got that fucking pudding again.
Yeah, Samantha orders everyone drinks, and Charlotte is like, oh, not for me, and Carrie says that she'll take it. And the server asks the room number.
We're staying in one of the private houses, number 3.
Very good, Mrs. Preston.
It was like taking a bullet.
Yeah, so Charlotte has pudding in her Prada, and they all sort of laugh, and Carrie doesn't, and wonders if she'll ever laugh again. And there's the line of, like, when something's really funny, you will laugh again. And then I put, really mariachi bands, should we talk about it? Does anyone like a mariachi band?
I do.
Like, in a restaurant. Like, I'm saying on it, like, out and about, they're so loud.
You just have a different experience of it, because sometimes, like, when you're really tired coming home from work or going to work, they come on the subway.
I guess so. It's so loud. And I do like that even in her state, Carrie is very polite. So we have a while later at dinner, yeah.
Yeah, she's talking about he couldn't get out of the car. I put a bird on my head for him, which I love because I'm like, he would not want that bird on your head. And I love that even you know it's ridiculous. So why was it there in the first place?
But it's also funny because I didn't know it was a bird. And I like that Miranda didn't know either. Yeah. That Miranda was like, it was a bird?
Yeah.
I thought it was feathers.
Yeah, like, no one ever really knows. And then we'll take another round. But then they touch the waiter. And I'm like, don't touch the waiter.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
And they have the conversation of, like, bad guys do bad things. But then also good guys do bad things.
Right,
Steve. And it gets pretty, yeah, exactly. And it gets pretty dark with Carrie saying, I threw it all away. If I met me now, I wouldn't know me. Which is pretty dark. And this is when Samantha sort of reveals that she can't believe that her life revolves around a man. And she brings up the ring and how she wanted to buy that ring for herself.
And now every time she looks at it, yeah, she sees Smith.
She thinks of him. And Charlotte defends it, you know, and, you know, it's just everyone coming at it from their place. But I get it. I get Samantha's thing of, like, this was a thing I wanted to give myself. And they sort of bring up that, you know, we're on Carrie's honeymoon, and then I think we're actually on their honeymoon. And I do like Miranda's line of, it's all so hot 3 days in. And for the record, that was an actual engaged couple that was making out of the background. Yeah, they cast an engaged couple. Now, there was a cut joke here where Miranda reveals that Steven's penis is 9.5 inches long, to which I think Samantha says, I guess that makes up for the one ball. And also says, how can you break up with a guy that has a 9.5 inch penis? And this was all cut, which I think is fine that it was cut. I think the scene works very well without it. And in fact, it also goes into a bonus scene that's not part of even the extended version, where the waiter comes over and says that the bar is closed, and Charlotte's very relieved. And they ask for the check and a bottle of tequila, and they dance their way back to with the mariachi band, and Sam leads the way, and it's whatever. It's kind of silly, and it's all cut, but it was a little moment that was filmed. And then we get to Miranda, Carrie, and Samantha are lounging, and Carrie's phone mailbox is full.
But so she can't got her phone back. Yet.
She got her phone back. Well, I think she had her phone. Oh, yeah, she got her phone back before they went on vacation. But she can't listen to the messages yet. And Charlotte's going for a run and then Pilates, and no one cares. Mm-mm. I always want to go to, like, Pilates or do yoga when I'm on vacation. And then I never do.
I actually did this last vacation I went on.
That was like a kind of a healthy vacation too, though, right?
Yeah. We went to Sedona and
wine country.
Mike kept thinking I was going to wine country, and I don't drink, so he'd be like, "Why are you going to wine this country?" No, we went to Sedona, Arizona. I went walking in the morning, but I didn't, you know.
And I do that, like I'll go for a walk or like exercise like that, but I never actually do the activities that I'm supposed to do. Miranda got an email from Carrie's buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll sell it back. It'll just cost her extra money. And Samantha's going to work on getting her things back to her apartment. And I do like that moment of, like,
so
you ladies can...
she never has to get in that house.
Right.
And Charlotte's going to take a shower.
Yeah. And she feels great. And she opens her mouth.
And forgot where she was.
Okay, here's the thing. So I write, on her way back, her stomach starts to grumble, and it's not the shower water. You've eaten nothing but pudding for, like, 5 days now. That's why your stomach is upset.
If your stomach, and like when your stomach's that upset where you're about to shit yourself, go to the bathroom.
I did have that thought too of like, turn around, go back to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But no, she gets back to the place and the floor is being mopped and there's no time.
And she poops
and Charlotte Poughkeepsies her pants. Yeah. And Carrie laughs.
Carrie laughs, and it's a beautiful moment.
For the record, those margaritas are real.
Oh.
it was the last thing they were filming that day, and I think SJP was like, this is our last thing, and I'm supposed to start laughing. What if we have some real margaritas? And I think she probably took a sip of it.
Right.
And Kristen was very nervous about the gag. She was like, it's not going to be funny. Like, pooping your pants isn't funny. And I'm like, yes, it is, Kristen.
And her face is like,
It's pretty good. And I guess Michael Patrick King was making the noises. Not the ones that were used, but he was making noises in the background to kind of, like, encourage them.
I've never pooped my pants. I have a friend who has pooped her pants more than once in her 20s and 30s.
I have a friend who pooped his pants more than once as well. So, and, like, it happens.
And I'm just like, how do you do it? And, like, she tells a story about how she had bad sea bass and was driving and, like, farted, and it was a surprise. And then she was like, you know what? At that moment, I was just like, screw it, and just let it rip and shatter.
That's very self. Margaret Cho. If you ever heard that Margaret Cho comedy routine, it's very similar. So Carrie has driven to a private area with her phone. She starts to listen.
And she does the thing Mike Jensen hates the most.
It does make me crazy. Now, I did say throwing that phone in the ocean is not going to get rid of those messages. Mm-hmm. But she could use a new phone. Yeah. So
it's
in this case,
it's a busted razor.
Yeah, I'll allow it. It's fine. Throw your phone into the ocean. And we get back to her on her old stoop in New York. Mm-hmm. And it's raining. And she goes inside and surveys the damage, and it includes the dress, right? The dress is kind of, it looks very gold in this shot. But if you go back and look at the scene as we survey all the boxes in her apartment.
Yeah, it's funny though, because yes, you do see it, but also there's that moment where she's opening a box later on with Louise and the dress is there.
Yeah, I think Louise packaged it up, but we can deal with that next time, because this is the end of this part of the movie. So we will be back next week as we get started on part 3.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
If you've just stumbled upon this podcast, you should know that Elise and I have done over 100 episodes covering the entire Sex and the City series. So check those out and make sure to change your settings to play in sequential order. For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone, put a link on Facebook or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe and let's all take care of each other.
And we have everyone lives in Brooklyn now. Oh, no, sorry. Wait, what do they say about Brooklyn? Oh, that she just moved. What happens next, Elise? Do they talk about Brooklyn?
I don't remember. Blessings. Blessings. Ooh. Lip trills.
So at least... And Steve says that he didn't have any choice. Okay, blah, blah, blah.
Probably
I like that you got gin and juice.
What song is that? Well, it's called, oh shit.
Elise is falling apart.
It's called Gin and Juice, but I don't.
I think it is. I don't know it. We start bringing up the Cinderella theme song, or continuing the Cinderella theme song.
Theme
and he's trying to write his
theme?
Vow. Yeah, it's just the theme song. The Cinderella theme song.
I was like, I'm wishing. No, that's Snow White.
What is the Cinderella theme song?
When you wish upon a star.
Is that Cinderella?
I know you. I danced with you once upon. 10 minutes ago, I saw you. Poor unfortunate. We just do a full Disney medley.
Elise's diddly. Diddly.
Ew.
Elise's diddly medley.
Ew. Mike's a perv. So, yeah. And if you don't know what to write, just write. I forget what it is.
Well, we'll put the line in. It's fine.
Gotta get through this.
And we. What's that from?
Gotta get through this. Gotta get through this. Gotta make it through. Yeah, I gotta get through. It's a song. I gotta get through this.
I don't know it.
Yes, you do.
You don't know Jody Watley.
Hold on. This is outrageous because I. Gotta get through. Gotta get through this. It's Daniel Bedingfield.
Who's she?
on, Mike Jensen, 2002, at like Barracuda.
In a clear act of sabotage, Lily puts the phone in. Oh, I messed up my own line.
Try again.
In a clear act of sabotage, Lily puts the phone in a purse.
In a cupcake.